If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Great afternoon, Tim.
Great afternoon to you. And rounding out our crew today, we have Adam Cole, a.k.a. Chugs on Twitch.tv. You should follow him at TheChugs. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Phenomenal. Very
phenomenal,
excited,
man. The three of us just hung out and live reacted to the PlayStation State of Play, showing off Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It looked fantastic. We're going to talk all about what we thought about that. And in addition to that, we all actually got to preview the game. We got our hands on to varying degrees of the game, got to play a whole bunch of it. And we want to give you our thoughts. Although remember, the demo's out now. So you guys are going to be able to go out and play a whole bunch of it yourself if you would like to do that. But just a little reminder for everyone, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast where each and every week we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. You can join us on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to watch. You can join us on podcast services to listen. But if you wanted to go above and beyond, you can get the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get the shows ad-free and watch us live as we record them. And you get a daily exclusive show. It's a great deal. I love it. Shout out to some of our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Streakin' Ain't Easy, and Delaney Twining. Thank you all for allowing this to happen. Today, we're brought to you by the Kind of Funny Store. We got a whole bunch of new merch up right now. You can go check out at kindoffunny.com/store, but you'll hear more about that later. I want to get right into it. There's just too much Final Fantasy VII excitement. Adam, I want to start with you because I met you a few weeks ago. We were in LA, got to go to this preview event, and I see you at the hotel, and I see your shirt, and I see Cloud on it, and I was like, I'm going to go up and introduce myself to this guy. He looks familiar. I'm not sure where I know him from exactly, but he seems like my type of guy. I walk up to you and immediately egg on my face. I'm like, this is fucking Adam Cole. God damn it.
No, I'm so glad you did. I'm so glad we finally got to meet face to face, man, especially at such a cool event like that. God, I was hyped. It was awesome. It was awesome. And now look, I'm on the show.
And now you're
this is amazing.
It was great. Amazing. Yeah, that's the thing. It was awesome. Got to talk to you and be like, oh shit, like you are all about Final Fantasy. This is so rad. And then Andy, you got to play a little bit of it as well. So yeah, we played the game. But Adam, so what is your history with Final Fantasy VII as a series, the original, the remake, all the things in between?
So I kind of have a very short but funny backstory. Is my first experience with Final Fantasy VII, the original on PlayStation 1, was actually a mistake. Me and my younger brother, we really wanted Resident Evil 2 that year for Christmas. We were so excited. And my mom discovered that had M for Mature on it, and we were not allowed to get Resident Evil 2. So instead, we got Final Fantasy VII, and me and my brother both cried. We were so upset. We wanted Resident Evil 2 so bad. Then we played Final Fantasy VII, and to this day, it's one of the most influential. Right, yeah, right, exactly. Only happy tears. Well, happy and sad tears, I guess. But yeah, Final Fantasy VII has impacted me. One of the most influential pieces of entertainment media, period. Like again, just the ability to make me care so much about these characters, care so much about video game music, just wanting to constantly escape into this world. Final Fantasy VII did that better than any other game I'd experienced at that point.
I love that. I love it so much. And then I imagine, did you play through a remake?
I did multiple times. And I think what I love so much about Remake, aside from the fact that it's done such an amazing job of replicating that special spark that the original Final Fantasy VII had, is it's created the exact same sense of wonder I had when I was a kid playing Final Fantasy VII again, with the questions of where is the story going to go? What exactly is going to happen? But I'm just as thrilled, if not more thrilled, than I was when I was a kid. So I loved Final Fantasy VII Remake. Loved it.
Hell yeah. So Andy, before we get into our preview thoughts of our hands-on experience, right. We just saw that State of Play. Any takeaways?
I just am confused by so much of what is about to happen in the game, because there's so much of that that I don't know. A lot of these references that you and Adam are making and going like, oh my God, this area, oh my God, this. I just have no experience with that. I never played the original Final Fantasy VII, was never a huge fan of turn-based games, and I saw my cousin had it at one point. I was like, there's 20 discs there. What's going on here? I don't have a PlayStation with a 20-disc changer, you know? But I knew that when Remake came out, I wanted to give it a shot, and I fell in love with the Remake. Towards the end of it, no idea what the hell's going on. No idea why everybody's angry in some cases, or why some people are pumped about what the future changes may be. I'm just kind of, I'm blown away by the amount of variety. I did not expect this to kind of have that. It feels like whenever I see random screenshots from people playing Like a Dragon, and there's a million different mini games, and here we're seeing so many different things that the developers are bringing to the table that I'm kind of stunned that there's that much variety available, because Remake had a couple of, you know, different mini games here and there, but nothing to the degree of this.
I would say even in addition to the mini games, just even the locales that we're seeing, you know, like Final Fantasy VII Remake, very focused on that Midgar part, which has a lot of very similar looking exteriors and interiors, right? You're either in the dark slums or you're kind of in the winding hallways with a lot of green glow of being in Shinra and all that. So yeah, here it's a lot more. And so Adam, seeing this trailer, was there any areas that like really stood out to you that you're like, oh my God?
Oh, but God, multiple. But one that really, really stuck out was Gold Saucer. I've been so curious to see how that was going to look. And it looked just as majestic and magical as I hoped it would. I can't wait to explore more of Gold Saucer. Cosmo Canyon is another favorite area of mine. Really, there are so many different areas I'm curious to see what they do. Like, again, how they extended so much on what the original Midgar was in Remake. To think they're going to do that with all these new areas in Rebirth, it has me so stoked, so excited.
Yeah, and so it's really cool now kind of blending what we saw here with a little bit of what we actually got to play. So for people who played the original, they'll know the Midgar section is kind of the just opening of the game. And then once you get to the end of it, it turns into much more of an open world style adventure where there's a big world map with a ton of different towns and just a lot more variation in where you're going. And we see the moment in some of the state of play we just saw of them like going through a corridor, and then they open up to the big, beautiful green field. And that's kind of this big introduction to the open world moment. And that was something that we got to see in the hands-on demo that we played. And it was very emotional for me. This moment we're seeing here, like walking out, it was just like, it's definitely overwhelming for a lot of reasons, like in terms of like the gameplay and in terms of like, oh, it's an open world game. There's a lot of checklisty stuff. There's a lot going on. Seeing this map we have here, it's like, oh baby, this is a lot. But it also is like, wow, they're kind of already delivering on a dream here of like seeing these old moments that we had when we were little kids, of the wonder of this moment of like, wow, this is the biggest thing I've ever seen. And to see it now and still feel that way is like pretty special.
I think it's pretty shocking how like, throughout every generation of video games, you always say, like, games will never look better than this. Mm-hmm. And replaying and re-experiencing Final Fantasy Remake right now with Snowbike Mike and it being his first time, you still get those close-ups on the characters' faces. You're just like, how can the game possibly look better, right? And then you see a trailer like this and are kind of immediately reminded, oh, they are improving it somehow in some way. And all of these, like, the lighting and all these different environments, everything just looks so handcrafted and like special. I'm just really stunned by the level of care and quality put into all these different things we're seeing right now on screen.
So Adam, talk a little bit about your experience playing the game.
Yeah, and going off of what Andy had just mentioned is even the little bit that I did get to play this game. I spent so much time walking around and just looking at all the detail in everything, whether it's like a picture frame or flowers or like a signpost outside. It's insane how much attention to detail they've had. But very similar to your experience in the sense of getting out into the open world and seeing it for the first time. Again, just blown away. Two things is, one, I remember thinking, oh my God, this is huge. And you open up the map and I thought that was it. And then you pull back and you realize, oh my God, I'm not even close to seeing the entire open world.
The Elden Ring moment.
Exactly. Very, very similar. And then also, too, I really enjoyed how much stuff was filled in throughout the open world. It's not a ton of empty space with nothing to do, whether it's enemies or buildings to explore or just a bunch of different stuff. It seems like there's going to be a ton to do in the open world, which to me is a big key as far as making your open world really, really exciting. So my God, through the roof, like just goosebumps all up and down my body going through that experience.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is now the second time I got to get my hands on the game. I did my first preview back in, I want to say September. That would make sense. Yeah, it was like, man, it was the TGS demo. And I remember like talking about it and being like, I'm so stoked for this, but there's just something about the preview that just didn't like nail it for me. And I think I did the Spider-Man 2 preview the day before, and it was just such a great demo that we got to do for Spider-Man that the next day playing Final Fantasy, I was like, I get it. I'm so stoked for this, but there's just something about where they're placing me in the action-y pieces and then in the open world. It just felt a little more jarring. This demo, the way that it starts off is essentially with like a brief recap of the very end of Final Fantasy VII Remake. Super hype, super exciting. The motorcycle chase out. And then you just get into this like retelling of a flashback to the Nibelheim incident. And then you're in it and you're playing as Cloud and Sephiroth. And this is the demo that a lot of people are going to be playing. And you just go right back into it. And I loved the framing of it being kind of the crew of characters in present time talking to Cloud about what happened. Like,
right.
Tell us, now that all that crazy stuff just happened, tell us about who is this Sephiroth guy?
Mm-hmm.
And they start using that. And I think that framing for both people that haven't played a Final Fantasy before gives them at least some understanding of what's going on. And for people that like played Remake a couple years ago, I think it's a really good refresher on like, hey, here's the main cast, here's why they matter, and here's the stakes of the story going forward. And then the first hour or two is just pure Final Fantasy VII goodness, man. You and Cloud and Sephiroth going through Wrecking Shop. There's nothing cooler than you playing as a main character and then either playing as or seeing an NPC come in and just their damage numbers are 1,000 times higher than yours. And they're just a boss that's taking you like minutes to defeat. They come in 2 swipes and they're dead. You're like, this is awesome, you know?
Yeah, it was perfect for me. Somebody who has only ever seen Sephiroth as like, the dude that is always being thirsted for on Twitter, right? As he's just always like the super hot dude with the long hair. And like, I never really knew much about the relationship outside of that between him and Cloud. And I think it's kind of perfectly framed for someone like me who would only ever play the remake to see, oh, let's get a glimpse at what this relationship was at one point, where Cloud is kind of a rookie, right? He's kind of this rookie soldier first class. And Sephiroth is kind of like, all right, you take this little encounter right here. I want to see what you can do in this moment. I thought it was just super cool getting these conversational back and forth between all these different characters, and the team up combo attacks. All that stuff was just really cool and made me excited for what the rest of the game would be combat wise.
And it's important to note, Andy just said all of that stuff, but without saying anything specific here, it's very much if you know, you know type situation. The whole opening of this game has so much stuff that if you're looking for, even if you're not looking for it in some ways, you're going to be like, oh my God, this is how they're doing this. And that is really damn cool. But it doesn't really get in the way of the storytelling for somebody that might not necessarily be looking out for all those things. Adam, what do you think about the combat of specifically even that section of the Cloud and Sephiroth stuff?
Yeah, again, it was so fun and so well done. First and foremost, aside from, again, seeing the relationship side of things with Sephiroth and Cloud, again, they do a wonderful job of making Sephiroth feel incredibly powerful. So it is so, so much fun in the opening moments of that game. But I really do enjoy the synergy attacks. I think that's a really cool new addition that is both very cinematic and just exciting to perform and exciting to do. But the combat feels as smooth as ever. It seems like they've taken what worked in Remake and just added so many more details and little things that you can do to make the combat even more intricate, but also just as easy to pick up and play as well. It's not like it's super difficult, but I feel like the people who really do pay attention to detail and figuring out what type of attacks they want to do, what the enemies are weak to, there is so much to play with in Rebirth.
And even in the little bit that we did get to play, it's like so this started off with the Cloud and Sephiroth bit, but then eventually we get into the open world sections, and we got to play through some of a town and do some of the odd jobs that they talked about. And then we got to go a little bit more into more of an open situation where it is kind of the actual open world part with a lot more combat scenarios, and being able to see how versatile the party is, of like how many different characters they are, how different each one of them plays. Because in Remake, you're able, you for the most part, you had the three characters, and there was like, sorry, the team of like, what, it was like four for the majority of the game. Yeah. But you could play with three on your party at any time, switch between them. Here already, it's like there's so many more characters to play as. Like we saw in here, there's, you know, Red 13 and Yuffie, and that being added to the full party. That's in addition to Aerith, Barret, Cloud, Tifa. So you have a lot more flexibility in who you want your team of three to be and the dynamics between them all. Adam was just talking about the synergy attacks, the team attacks that they have. It's an interesting new feature on top of everything from the Remake system, where it doesn't expend any of your magic. It is more based on doing the odd jobs on the sides to build the personal relationships between the different characters. And the higher those levels are, you can, when they're in certain scenarios in combat, you're able to go to a new menu to do these like combo team attacks that are very cinematic.
They're stunning.
And so cool. Yeah. And there's so many of them. And like they, it's so many of them feel, it's, Remake was fun because it was constantly like switch, 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 go, go, go. Like it was turn-based combat, but it's also very action-y. It's really pushed up to like, you're moving a lot more in this, I would say, in terms of like telling somebody to cast a spell while you're setting something up, getting in position to do one of the team attacks, and just like boom, 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 moving. Like it's a lot of fun.
For Adam and Tim, because I didn't get to play all of the sort of where the actual preview opens up. I'd kind of ended a little bit before that. Does any of it get a bit daunting? Did you ever have a moment where there's too much stuff being thrown at you with these odd jobs? And, you know, I can imagine that if there's, this is their chance to kind of introduce a lot of the what the rest of the game would be. Do you ever feel like overwhelmed at any of those moments?
I did not. And actually, too, the little bit that I did get to experience, the cool thing was, too, is every piece of side content that I did like felt worthwhile. Like I didn't feel like I was wasting my time, or even every dialogue option that I had. It didn't feel like, okay, let's get through this. But I was not at any point feeling overwhelmed or, oh my God, this is going to take forever. Again, this was very, very early within the game. But no, I thought it was very easy to follow along with, and also really, really fun to do.
Yeah, it's weird for me because, you know, I'm traditionally not an open world guy, and I'm definitely not a... I like my games to be a game. I don't need my game to have a game in it and have that game have a game in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like a lot of this, it's like, oh, it's mini games galore and side quests and all this stuff. And look how open it is. A lot of that seeming like, I don't know, man. Like, I really like how linear Remake was. I like just, we're having the story. We're in this location. So jumping into this, I'm like, I love Final Fantasy VII so much. So I'm willing to kind of like give it a shot more than I would some other things. And so far, I'm like, oh, man, they're winning me over. And I think so much of it is that, like Adam was saying, the side stuff feels worthwhile and varied enough that we're not doing the same type of like fetch questy things over and over. And if we are, it's all has unique like dialogue happening on your way. Like, let's say you have to pick up thing A, take it to place B, then take it to place C. While that's happening, if that's not the interesting part, the conversations between Aerith and Tifa that are going on that only happen on that quest line, they're so good. And I love the writing in Final Fantasy VII Remake. I feel like just having more characters be able to interact so far has been so impressive to me of they feel so real. And not just real to like the world we're in. It feels real and authentic to the world they're in, which is so hard to pull off because we've played the original. We have these voices and these characters in our heads. To see Red 13 talking and moving around and like being a real thing and it feeling right, that's so hard to get.
Yeah.
but I think that so far from what I've played, they have, and it's made all of the open world stuff, while daunting, and I will say it is kind of daunting. Like when you get into some of these open world situations, I want to do it all and I'm like, I can't. But like they were just saying in the state of play, the way that the game has been working is that you can always go back to the side stuff. So there's not this feeling of like, oh man, if I don't do it now, I'm not going to be able to. It's like they understand that there is a story to tell being thrust forward, but then there's also just limitless things to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Just a little nitpick out there, right? Because I, you know, let's give some not so good with the good that I experienced. Me being a visual snob, when you're running around in those early moments of the Nibelheim incident, I'm looking at the game and I'm like, oof, man, right now in performance mode, this is not even 1440p. This has got to be like maybe around 1080-ish. It looked really, really low res and kind of fuzzy in a lot of spots. And then during that whole sort of open area for me, I just wasn't really digging the look of everything. It looked a little bit fuzzy. It looked low res. A lot of pop in here and there. And then you kind of experience that first demo boss fight. And it's like it's like they added two more PS5s to like your machine. And the production quality just ramps up. And it reminded me a lot of my experience with Final Fantasy 16, where there's a lot of moments where the character NPCs, and when they're talking to each other, it looks very, very basic and procedural. And then the big boss fight hits, and it's like they pumped $3 billion into the budget of what that boss fight was going to be. I noticed a lot of that, especially because that first boss fight looks so damn good, and it's in a very kind of controlled cave area. The lighting is fantastic. Everything just looks so top-notch, and then you pair that with kind of where they introduce to you these synergy moves. And that just adds so much more to the production value. And you're just kind of blown away that, like, if you understand, like, they're putting a lot of their time into those moments as opposed to kind of running around. Or, you know, maybe some patches help out some of the performance here and there. But I was really blown away by the contrast in how sharp and amazing things looked in the boss fight compared to just kind of walking around in those early moments where Sephiroth is being like, you take this one, Cloud, you got this, or whatever. Still, gameplay was very, very fun, though, and I enjoyed getting back into that rhythm of combat. After, you know, Mike sometimes forces the controller on me when we're doing the Final Fantasy VII Remake playthrough, and getting the hang of that again and just kind of finding the fun in it again, you know, mixing up the different elements, so much fun.
I think from a presentation standpoint, I'm just, it's a little bit of a cheat code, because we're talking about some of the most iconic game music of all time, but
easily,
like, legitimately, Final Fantasy VII music is it's so much like, it's just like it transports you to a place, to a time, to a feeling, everything. And I Remake really pushed it forward of like making these beautiful themes even more special.
That rendition that you first get is like, oh my God.
And the thing is, the so far in Rebirth, everything I've seen, they're just having so much more fun with it. And like in the state of play, they just had 400 recorded tracks. And I'm not surprised, because even in what we played, the first like 3-4 hours of this thing, I heard maybe 10 variations of the Final Fantasy VII main theme, maybe 4 variations of Aerith's theme, like 5 variations of Tifa's theme, and they all feel so perfect and authentic to the moment. There's so much love and care put into, you know, we see Tifa when she has her little, the cowgirl outfit, and she gets this like Western version of her theme. And it's like every moment feels bombastic and cinematic, because every single moment is backed up by a memorable score. And the amount of times they have fun with the like the one winged angel Sephiroth theme, like motifs, just throughout little battle stings or throughout moments that are happening. It's like, man, there was like some storytelling going on just via the audio of this thing that I'm just so impressed by. And the moment that I think you're talking about is kind of like, it's not the title screen moment of the game, but the credits moment. You're like, you're walking, go for it, Adam.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was just going to say, but that was my favorite moment from everything that I got to play, seriously, just because, again, video game music is so important to so many of us, and it really sets the mood and sets the tone and sets the scene. And that credits moment, again, I was just, my face hurt from smiling so much, and I had goosebumps all up and down my body. The Final Fantasy VII Remake soundtrack is my favorite video game soundtrack of all time, I think. With them taking like some of the classics and making them even better, then adding new tracks that I loved as well, whether it's battle themes or area themes. So thinking what they're going to do with FF7 Rebirth, even from the little bit that we got to hear, it might top Remake for me. I mean, it sounds so good.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And so speaking of music and transitioning a little bit more to mini games and like things that Final Fantasy VII are kind of known for, one thing I loved is so early when you're in Nibelheim, just walking around, you go into a house and there's a piano. And then they're just like, just play the piano. And there's just a full-on playable piano. Like, Andy, like, was that the type of thing that you're just like, I'm going to get lost in this?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminded me of The Last of Us Part 2, getting on that guitar, like, what stupid songs am I about to cover here with Ellie? Yeah, it's awesome. Like, that level of interactivity and care, having these moments that kind of really help you remember, not just, you know, you're going through this plot, you're going through this story, but these little side things can really... like help cement these memories for you. And I just think all this stuff is so special.
Yeah, it really is. We are going to keep talking about our experience with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth after a really quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by kindoffunny.com/store. We've got two brand new drops for you this week. First, check out the Kinda Funny broadcast line. Old School Telethons inspired this distressed design and collection for our annual Kinda Funny Day campaign, which includes a t-shirt, tote bag, and coffee cup. Our cozy collection, designed by Nick at Campfire Designs, is also available. Get nice and snuggly in your choice of a crew neck sweatshirt and joggers and a women's cropped hoodie. These have been big hits with the team, and we think you'll love them too. Both collections are available for the next 2 weeks on kindoffunny.com/store. Grab them while you can.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So jumping back into this, we were just talking about some added mini games. We saw in the state of play a ton of the classic mini games from the first game are coming back, but there's one that is new that we did get to play a pretty good amount of that is pretty core to the experience of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's a card game called Queen's Blood. And I'm telling all y'all right now, this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a major problem because it is a card game that is simple to learn, very hard to master, very well presented in the game as like a thing that you're like, oh, this is worth doing. Even in the first kind of open area in Calm that we got to play in the demo or the preview, there's a wealth of opponents to be able to go and face off in this game, and you get worthwhile things, and it builds the story, and it feels like integrated into it all. And the game's really good, y'all. It's really, really good. It has a great theme song to itself, and it's just super fun. It's snappy. Like, the whole match is done in, like, 3 minutes. It reminds me of Marvel Snap. So, it's going to be a problem. I'm telling you right now.
Did you get sucked into this at all, Adam?
So, I did, but truth be told, I am horrible at card games within video games. I was terrible at Gwent in The Witcher 3, and I'm terrible at this one as well. But I am determined to teach myself how to play it because it is very fun. It is very, very fun.
So that card game is not the same little tactics game that they had in Intermission.
No.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and even earlier when you were seeing, you're like, oh, is that the same thing? Same area, different game. The game that we're seeing, like the mini game we saw today, is a remake of a game that was in the original game. Mini game from the original game.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, but this is a brand new card game in this, and it's just awesome. And I really like it. Again, so much to shout out about the presentation of this game. The presentation of the card game, I think, is like particularly impressive because it, again, feels authentically part of this world. When you're walking around and seeing people playing the card game, you're like, I buy this. It makes the world that they're in feel a lot more lived in and real.
Mm-hmm.
And during the card matches, they treat it super anime, where like you walk up to somebody and then they're like, do you want a duel? It's like very Yu-Gi-Oh.
Okay.
And it's like, you want a duel? It's like, yeah, let's duel. And the camera shifts and you hear the like, whoosh, whoosh, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like let's awesome. Go versus. And then as you're playing it, the characters are kind of talking shit to each other. And so you just hear like the BO of them just being like,
little banter.
Like, oh, you think that got me? Nah, try this. And it's like, this is awesome, man. Like, it's just so much fun.
How much of the demo does that like, or how much of that preview? Is it in the demo?
Yes, it was in the demo. So it was in the preview where you, once you, it was past where you got to play. But it's in Calm. It's in the city when you first start, when things open up a little bit, but not quite fully open. Just to give you an idea of a town, which, by the way, the towns in this game are bustling. So much to do and see, so many conversations happening. And it's so funny because, like, playing through this in a lot of ways, I'm like, God damn, this is just a dream Pokemon game. Like, Pokemon step it the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know? But on the other hand, I'm just like, it's that, but not every single person's talking about Pokemon. Like, they're talking about things that feel relevant to that city, to that moment, not like, oh, I heard Chanseys could do whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Gotcha. So it's like I'm really, really bought into the town element. But in this town, there was like at least four or five potential opponents for the card game.
Okay, gotcha.
And like you can buy new cards and stuff. Like the card stuff is like a big deal, but also you could skip it if you wanted to.
Okay. What difficulties did you all play on?
That's an excellent
I played on normal.
Okay.
For me. Yeah. Yeah.
I also but, go for it.
Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, it was great. It was great. Yeah, that was it.
I played on normal and it was awesome, having a great time with it. And then when I got to the final boss of the demo, which was this like big snake boss thing that I don't think either of you got to, it kind of kicked my ass. And I was just like, oh shit. And it really kicked my ass because I had just not been equipping everybody with the right stuff. The problem with a preview event, for people that don't know, you're limited with the amount of time you have with the game. Mm-hmm. And so they're just like, there's a lot to do. You have this much time. Go. So I kind of had to pick and choose.
You take a break. It's like, I want to go to the table, get some like mangoes and get some melons.
I was playing a lot of the card game.
Oh, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, you didn't even hit up the spread that they had there? That's wild, dude.
But
I've been eating all the granola bars.
So I ended up going down to, so there's normal, there's easy, and then there's dynamic difficulty in this one.
Okay.
So dynamic, I'm a little unclear. I need a little more experience to understand exactly how dynamic it is.
Like skill-based matchmaking? Like you get better, it gets better?
Yes.
Okay.
And that it's phrased that way, but I just don't understand. So it's phrased in a way that makes me think that if you're doing well, it makes it harder for you.
Yeah.
I don't know if it makes it easier for you if you're not doing well, though. You know what I mean? I don't know if dynamic is a hard
thing. You gotta assume if maybe you lose a couple times in a row, it, you know.
Yeah, probably. I just don't know. I just don't know. So, but yeah, I eventually went down to easy. No shame, man. No shame.
No shame at all.
What characters were your favorite to use, Adam? Like, did you have a side character that you could use that had like the coolest moveset or one that you felt yourself gravitating towards?
Oh, so obviously, I mean, Cloud is the main character. He's a ton of fun to play as, but I really do enjoy playing as Tifa. Like, I love all the different combinations that she can do. She's just so, so fun and moves around the map like so, so quickly. So she was probably my favorite to play as. But again, Barret is fun. Like, really, all of them are fun. And actually, I'm excited to try extensively a lot more of the characters out as well. But everyone feels great to play and exactly how you would imagine those characters to feel playing as.
And interesting note there, Red 13 is like playable really now for the first time. So his play style is, it's pretty interesting. It's defense focused, where you kind of are going to want to go in and get a lot of like parry type thing going. And your parries will essentially like build up his meter. So for people who played Remake, and then this is now even more so true in Rebirth, every character essentially has a square attack and a triangle attack. Square is kind of just the basic punch, 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 slash, 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 whatever. And then triangle is unique to that character. So Cloud will have the ability to switch between
punishing
mode and overdrive?
Operator
mode, yeah.
Yeah.
Where one's a little stronger and allows stronger hits but less defensive options. Whereas operator mode's a little bit more nimble and more defensive things. So for Red 13, his is you parry and you defend, and it kind of takes the hits in and it builds that meter up, and then you can use the meter to kind of like fight back. So it's like a very countery type of thing. And he spins around a lot. So it's like you can just like tap square, or if you build up your meter, triangle. And he's very like flippy, and he gets in there, and it's kind of like, think of him like using his body as like a saw.
Okay.
Essentially. So you can kind of go in there super chip damage style. And it's so fun to get a combo going of like Tifa going in, getting the punch combos going, and then set him up. So they're just like getting.
So did you all notice like a whole bunch of like crazy dynamic, the team up synergy moves? Like, were you like, oh, what would Red 13 look like with Tifa or so-and-so with whoever, you know?
I wish I had the chance to do more of them. Because actually I spent so much time like just exploring the open world and looking at random buildings and things like that. So I did get to try a few, and again, all of them are so different. Like, it's so wild how not a single synergy move feels similar to another one. And everyone that I played or everyone that I used was super, super fun, but I still have so many more synergy moves to try out, but I really, really enjoyed them.
Yeah.
And again, the whole setup with the unlock system here of like deciding what you want to level up, and the small like passive bonuses you get throughout that, I love stuff like that. It just opens up so much stuff within the game.
So what's really cool about that, so it's the Folio system, which is essentially, I mean, it's a skill tree, but it functions like the Sphere Grid from Final Fantasy X, but just on a much more like small scale. The Final Fantasy Remake had a similar type thing. I forget what they called it, but like as you go through and you get your skill upgrades, and there was like a tree going on.
Like a galaxy sort of thing.
Yeah, this is it's a little simpler to look at and understand. And you can go in, but what's really cool about it is at any of the save points you go to, you can change whatever you want, and you can just completely restart and renegotiate where you want all of your skills to go. If you're like realizing, oh, I actually want these characters to be like more defensive or faster or whatever it is, like based on how your play style evolves. And it's really, really cool to me how quick it all is. And I think that's actually another big thing I want to point out, how snappy this game is. Like the loading or lack of it, how impressive it all looks and like the presentation of it all. But it's just like, once you get into it, man, it's just, the menus just load so nicely. Like, it's very, very, very impressive.
I'll tell you one simple thing I love that it's like just such a tiny little thing. The visuals of the pause menu. I love going to the pause menu, seeing your characters there, doing like a little idle animation. You know, Cloud will put his Buster Sword on his shoulder and then you go to a different menu and it's a different camera angle. It's just such a nice change from just that blue screen, because I've been seeing that a whole lot with this recent playthrough. I love that. It's such a tiny change, but it's cool, and it just makes the game look a lot prettier, I think.
Also, too, another very small detail, but I love when you're exploring the open world and then you get like an encounter out in the open world, how the music so seamlessly transitions into like a battle theme, and then it goes right back into the calm exploration style open world map theme. I think that was so seamless too.
The dynamic awesome. Music, man. I mean, we've seen it in some games. Great. It always hits. I don't know if it's ever hit this hard for me.
Wow. Like,
and second time I'm bringing up Spider-Man in this preview, but Spider-Man so good at evoking that thrill as you start swinging and the music like rises and you hear the choir. Like, it's always good. But that's one song that might over the course of the game have like two or three versions, but like it's one little thing. This is every moment, and I am so impressed that every section I get to has a new battle theme that is also dynamic to the normal just walking around theme. So it's like, it is the calm battle theme. It is the, you know.
That's where the 400 tracks are, Adam.
Really? Like, that starts adding up, right? Because I remember even the preview I did last time, the first preview, when it was more in the Junon area of the open map, the battle theme was the Junon theme battle version. And it's just satisfying, man. Like, and again, I am, it's cheating. I've been listening to these songs for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Easy like, dubs for them.
Yeah. but it's like, it's an easy win, but they didn't take the easy way out.
Right.
Like this dynamic stuff, like the amount of love put into it, like they showed up with it, man. And it just makes the entire experience feel like, earlier, Adam, you were saying that like Final Fantasy VII is like so, so important. Like, this to me, it's Star Wars for a group of people. Like, it is so special that like this cast of characters and the locations and sounds and all of it can come together and mean this much and look this good.
For sure. I remember when Final Fantasy VII Remake came out. I know initially some people were disappointed that it was only like one section of the game, but the love and attention to detail they put in Remake made it so worth it. And I know the love and attention they're going to put into Rebirth is going to knock it out of the park even more than Remake. So I'm so happy that they're making this like a three game series. And if they continue to put as much love and attention and detail into Remake as well as Rebirth, and then whatever the next game is, it could be my favorite trilogy of games of all time. It's so, so special.
Yeah, man, it's really impressive. And, you know, I will say, as the two of us being like super, super hardcore fans of this game and series and everything, like, I am so impressed. Like, the way that Remake ended, I was beside myself of like, this is the best thing ever for me. Like, I, yes, I absolutely love this. And playing through
Is that because you're like, I'm going to get something new out of this experience?
Yeah, it's because to me, it's the perfect balance of, it's what I've loved before, just done again, which I want.
Right.
But it's also new. There's also some new stuff. And like, I like getting weird. Let's get weird a little bit. The biggest thing for me is Zach being at the end. I'm a Zach boy. So the idea of getting more Zach, I'm just like, that is incredibly cool to me. So with all that, I'm like, this is very exciting. But playing the bit I did here, the way that they handle the flashback and to the open bits of Calm and Outside Calm, I was so impressed at the balance of how faithful they are to the original and how beat for beat, line for line of dialogue in some cases. Specifically the scene of Cloud and Nibelheim crawling towards a burning building without giving away any other things about that.
Okay.
I can't believe how faithful it is for something that was so resonant to us back in the day. But when you watch now, is goofy as hell looking because it's just little shitty polygon guy like crawling. But to play through it now, it feels so impactful. And it feels like it should feel, you know? But then there'll be one line of dialogue that's different noticeably. And you're like, holy shit, what are they doing? Like, I'm just so in on like what they're going to keep the same and more importantly, what they're going to change. But so far with the 4 hours I played, I am thrilled at the changes they're making and more so the teases they're making at where this game is going. And I think that's a very exciting thing. Playing this demo, the way that it ends and like the setup that it has, I'm like, oh, they're going to give us stuff in this game. This is not going to be a part three team for part three. This feels like it's going to be like there's shit going on.
Very exciting. Very exciting stuff.
Very, very exciting stuff. Adam, any final things you want to say about your time with this?
No, just again, I can't think of a time that I've been more excited for a game to come out. And I mean that genuinely. Again, going off of everything that you said, this feels like a giant love letter to Final Fantasy VII, while at the same time, again, creating like a whole new exciting experience. Whether you've played the original or not, this game is going to be a grand slam. I just know it. I can't wait for February 29th. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the hype is real right now, but like, I think it's justified. Like, I will say that this preview event, it was one of the rare times that there was a buzz in the room. Like, everybody was like, oh, they got...
This is special.
All the people working on it. Oh, by the way, the event was incredible. The entire voice cast was there. And you could tell everybody was like, we got something. Like, we got
something with
this one. So, yeah, pretty, pretty damn cool. And the last thing I want to say gameplay-wise, this is like a huge improvement for me from Remake. I hated in Remake how... Cloud would walk around and it felt like he was bumping into everything, and the hitbox and collisions of how he was moving was not fun to navigate the world. And like if there's a chest and the triangle icon pops up and like you have to be just right to open it, some of that's still here with the like chest opening stuff, but just the way Cloud moves around the world and like how it functions a lot more.
Jump over a railing.
It functions a lot more like Link in Breath of the Wild or Spider-Man. Spider-Man, where you kind of just, you hold R2 and you can move, and he just goes over whatever you have to. And it feels good to me. Like moving around, like actually the locomotion of it feels a lot better to me, which was a much needed improvement.
To piggyback on that, I thought of you because as I was playing it, There was a little mountain, maybe about 3 or 4 feet tall. I mean, not mountain, but just like a hill of dirt inside of like this larger sort of canyon. And I was like, oh, I can maneuver myself on top of that because there's a little materia there. And I'd get up to the top, and then Cloud would like fall back down. I was like, oh, I got to do this like 3 times. And finally, I found the triangle icon pop up, and I was like, ooh, Tim must not have liked this moment. Right
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
And I haven't experienced that since then, but that was like, I was like, ooh, I hope this isn't the case for the rest of it because Tim hates that shit.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about this game in the weeks to come. Andy, of course, thank you for joining me. But Adam, thank you for joining me. Where again can people find you?
Oh, so I stream on Twitch. My Twitch is twitch.tv/thechugs. We play a wide variety of games on there. Certainly, we'll be playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So if you want to come hang out, please feel free. Oh, there we go. Thank you.
There it is.
I love the Sonic logo. Incredible stuff.
Yes.
Incredible. Yes. Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you all for spending your day hanging out with us, watching the State of Play, and then watching our thoughts on this. It's going to be a very fun time. Remember, this Friday is Kind of Funny Day Stream Part 2. All day we'll be streaming, doing a bunch of fun, cool stuff, the return of KFAF. It's going to be a blast. But until next time, love you all. Goodbye.
Bye, gamers.